We have heard a lot about possible sanctions on Russia. Will President Trump issue more? Looks like perhaps not. To make some sense of all of this back and forth, I want to bring in Richard Kahn, managing partner at Eurasia Advisors, which is based in New York. And Richard has vast technicals working with Russian businesses and Russian and U.S. alliances. So he is a perfect person to weigh in on this. Does this matter? First, I should ask, should we even be talking about sort of the will the U.S. or won't the U.S. add sanctions to Russia?
Well, thanks, Lisa. I think certainly it should be on our minds because it goes to the issues of how we view the Trump administration and their relationship with Russia. But I, you know, in my view, that's, if you will, a sideshow to the main events, which relate to investigation looking for evidence of interference and links and coordination with Russia, which is what Mueller is looking at now. This is potentially, at least in some people's mind, evidence of proclivity to favor Russia and perhaps evidence that Russia remains in a position to affect Trump.
Just to be clear, the fact that President Trump seemingly walked back what Nikki Haley had said earlier about possible additional sanctions, is that what you're talking about?
I am referring to that. It certainly plays into that narrative. Of course, there may be other explanations for it, but this is part of a pattern of Trump from the very early stages of his campaign, making nice with Putin and being unwilling to take on Russia as he has taken on many other countries, particularly some of our allies.
Richard, I wonder if you could just give us the perspective of what it's like to be in Russia at the current moment. I mean, if you go online, you can see a variety of photographs around the internet showing a lot of food that has been banned because of Russian retaliation to Western sanctions. The food being banned is then destroyed in landfills. And indeed, even the Russian cabinet is said to consider a special agency in order to counter foreign sanctions. What are the sanctions doing to the daily lives of Russians, and what do they hear about the back and forth between, because it's not just the United States and sanctions, it's many other countries.
Well, first, I'd note the sort of the little joke that was making the rounds a while back that Putin and Medvedev felt really upset about being left out in connection with Russian sanctions, so they decided to put sanctions on Russia as well. And that was accomplished, of course, I'm referring to what you just mentioned, which is the restriction of imports into Russia, which is obviously very harmful to the Russian people themselves. Look, you know, Russia is a very different structure in nation than ours is, very different history. Their relationship with their government is totally different. And they, you know, as a country, they tend to think more in terms of supporting the state, and that's sort of what the country is about, rather than the more of a U.S. model where we, at least historically, have viewed our public representatives as representing us and the country being about the citizens. So they are, generally speaking, very supportive of their government. And no matter what is done in the West, the government's in an ideal position due to its control of media, et cetera, to present that as an attack on Russia. It's been a constant theme in Russian history. So, you know, Russia is now in a mode where, at least as I see it, they're really often playing tactics of a rogue state. And I don't think that's something they wanted to do back even 5-6 years or so ago. But I think they're pretty firmly ingrained in that now. And I do believe they're looking to, at some point, trade, if you will, the leverage they're gaining by playing that role to perhaps over time get back into a more normal relationship in the West. But from their perspective, both the citizens and the government, they feel that we called the tune here. That would be their way of looking at it, that we've pushed them into this corner. They see their, you know, retaliation through interference in the election, trying to get people more amenable to better relations with them as appropriate. They're not going to admit they did it, but Certainly they know it.
Well, I do have to wonder. I mean, so the Mueller investigation and President Trump's relationship with Russia is one thing. Arguably, some events that have been much more important to world peace is what's going on in Syria and Russia's involvement there. Recently, Russia saying that perhaps it'll supply Syria with state-of-the-art air defense, which has rung some alarms, particularly in Israel. How concerning is all of this and Russia's involvement in the Syrian conflict?
Well, look, it's a huge problem. I just returned from a meeting of the crisis group in Berlin, where you know the subject of Russia's involvement both in Syria and in other parts of the world and the role they're playing is a big part of the conversation, as well as the inability of the Trump administration to interact in a manner that we in the U.S. can trust and be certain what their interests are. It dramatically complicates the game, and it's truly a frightening dynamic to have, you know, our forces in such proximity with Russia, with different saber rattling. You know, Trump is engaged with that. We have had instances, as you know, in the history of the Cold War, where there were real risks of conflict, including nuclear conflict, which were averted by individuals making key decisions. There are three or four instances of that. We don't want to be in postures where we're enhancing the risk of conflict. We should instead be, you know, trying to minimize those situations. And, you know, I don't have a sense that Trump currently has a particular strategy in Syria. I think it's generally a PR sort of play on his part. So is it something I worry about? Yes, constantly having that type of dynamic with all of our forces there. Yeah, we already had, by the way, as you know, a situation where we ended up killing 200 Russians, you know, when they attacked, you know, one of our bases. That was played down by both the U.S. and Russia. But I think most of us would agree this is not a healthy situation, and we want to have some adults in the room trying to deal with that and take it out of domestic U.S. politics.
I just also want to note that you are the author of a new book. It is really about a topic that many people are interested in. It's called The Earthbound Parent, How and Why to Raise Your Little Angels Without Religion. So congratulations on the production of your new book about science and using that as a part of an educational foundation.
Thanks, Pim. It is tied into these very concepts of the role, if you will, of principle over loyalty and how that ties into religious upbringing. And so it does tie in, if you will, with these political discussions. But at its heart, it's a book that's, you know, suggesting to parents in a gentle way that they consider the benefits of raising children, certainly without the supernatural, to be critical thinkers rather than embracing delusional concepts that can sort of set their children in the wrong direction.
I want to thank you very much for joining us. Richard Kahn is managing partner for Eurasia Advisors, joining us to talk about Russia. And once again, congratulations on the publication of your new book. It is entitled The Earthbound Parent, How and Why to Raise Your Little Angels Without Religion.